Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and podcast on AWFradio.com. Before we get to Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades, I want to read this statement from the North America Building Trades Unions and the Center for Construction Research and Training. They released a new national standard for infectious disease exposure control practices for construction sites. Given the lack of federal action by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, boy, we've been talking about that a whole lot, these guidelines aim to prevent disease, disability, and death caused by infectious disease exposure. The new national framework outlines planning and implementation elements with strong minimum standards, including screening policies and the requirement of comprehensive prevention measures that include symptom checking, social distancing, training, hygiene, and decontamination procedures. Got a comment here from Sean McGarvey, who heads the building trades nationally. The COVID-19 pandemic clearly underscores the need for and value of a strong, adaptable, and multi-purpose exposure control standard to prevent the spread of infectious diseases on U.S. construction sites. He goes on to say, amid growing concerns across various industries regarding workplace safety in lieu of federal actions, the building trades are trying to do our best to protect our members and contractors on the job, and for that matter, everyone in the construction industry. So you see the flavor of this statement. Because the federal government is not really leading the way on this, it's up to the individuals to take charge, and that's what's happening. Let's go to line number one right now. He's one of our regulars as well as our sponsors, Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Dorsey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us once again.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday, Flash. How are you faring, my brother?
I'm hanging in there, still broadcasting from my den here in Independence, Ohio, with Millie the cat is somewhere around here. So if you hear some scrambling, you know what's going on. But it's a whole different. It's hard to believe it's May 1st already. It seems like this pandemic has been going on for a year. Don't you get that same feeling?
I am definitely getting a little bit of quarantine fatigue, yes. we've talked about it, and we totally get what's going on. We totally understand. We want people to be safe and everything. And a lot of the things the governor is doing is great, and it's helped Ohio stand out from a lot of the other states that have really had a lot of exposures and a high number of cases and stuff and a high number of deaths, which is unfortunate, but the quarantine fatigue is sitting in, you know, just some of the simple pleasures of going out and meeting somebody for an after work beer or coming home and flipping through the TV and, you know, hey, nothing's on. No, wait, here's an Indians game or here's a Reds game, you know. Really miss that stuff. You know, we had the few days of the draft last weekend, which gave us some sports to kind of, you know, really help the mood a little bit, which was nice. Mm-hmm. The Browns seems like they had a great draft. We'll know here in a year, hopefully. But we had that. But definitely quarantine fatigue is sitting in here in the household. So.
Yeah, and I know you're a big baseball fan. It looks like they're trying to get something going toward the end of June, maybe the beginning of July. So that's something to look forward to. But you heard me talk about the building trades nationally and what Sean McGarvey said. And I know we need some kind of a framework here because it seems to be all over the road map here. And I'd just like to get your perspective, what's going on, because how many times you and I have had conversation about the building boom that's going on in a big chunk of America, especially in Central Ohio. I mean, you have so many projects that are going up. And over here in northeastern Ohio, we have the new Sherwin-Williams complex. We're excited about that. And just everything came to a halt. Now, there's still construction going on, essential construction. Maybe let's start there. What are you hearing from the field, Dorsey?
So, first of all, about Sean's statement, I don't want to, his statement is very accurate. And in my opinion, related to his statement, I think this is what you get when you have voters and citizens and constituents that elect the Jimmy Jordan type people that want little to no government and want to gut everything. They want to cut taxes to the bare bone. And then when something like this happens, this is where we're at. I mean, you know, the pandemic playbook was thrown out the window. Pandemic task force was done away with. The CDC, their funding was gutted and cut. Plus, they were giving additional responsibilities. We've talked on your show about OSHA being cut. So kudos to Sean, the National Building, North American Building Trades, and also the council leaders and managers and agents that are out there every day going above and beyond to keep their members safe and taking the consideration of the health and welfare of the members and their families and their retirees into care. I've been talking to my managers and agents almost daily, and the big thing that we're seeing here in Central Ohio is there's been a few projects that have been suspended. I would say about 95% of the projects are status quo, just like before the pandemic hit, full speed ahead, staying on schedule and stuff. We're doing our best to fill in the gaps to where we've had members take a furlough because maybe they didn't feel safe working, or they're taking care of a child because of child care and their spouse is an essential employee, or maybe they're taking care of a grandmother or parent that lives in their household that's older and has a compromised immune system where they don't want to bring the virus home, which we totally get and we understand. So we've been filling in the holes. We've been manning these projects. I'm not getting the calls or the issues from developers or construction managers or GCs or end users about manpower. We've got them all manned. We're doing great there. I did see that Ohio State has about 15 projects that because of budgetary concerns and I think fear of the unknown of how this pandemic's going to play out, they have it canceled. They simply delayed them to postpone them into the future, so which means they're still going to do them. The OSU Medical Center, which is the $2 billion medical center, that seems to still be on schedule. Columbus Crew Stadium is on schedule. Franklin County Jail is on schedule. That's a massive project. And also the Hilton Hotel downtown, which we've talked about on your show, which is going to be huge for us moving forward when we get back to normal of getting these conferences and these conventions here to Ohio and also giving us a chance to hopefully not only bid but maybe win either the Democratic or Republican convention in 2024. So seems like a lot here in Columbus is still full speed ahead. There's been a few projects delayed. And, you know, it's I think we said this off the air, it's kind of a new normal now. You know, we're working hard. We're working hard to make sure that our members are going to jobs safely every day. They have the proper PPE. They have the sanitary requirements they need. They have the wash stations. They have the cleanup areas on the job site. And we're trying to do the best we can to deal with the cards that we've been dealt.
Dorsey, let's pick up on what you talked about politically. And I know you've had a very good relationship with the lawmakers down in Central Ohio on both sides of the fence, Democrats and Republicans. And I noticed you had a conversation, I believe, with John O'Grady. Why don't you explain who John is? And this involves the plight of essential employees. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah. So John O'Grady is one of our three county commissioners, along with Kevin Boyce and Marilyn Brown. And John's been doing some Facebook Live events in the evenings with different leaders around Central Ohio. It's been broadcasted live. It's been getting a ton of coverage on the local news and media. Last night, he had Steve Stein, who's president of the firefighters, on there. Mark Fluharty, who's a former rep of the UFCW, now runs the Central Labor Council, and myself, and was just talking about the essential workers, you know, the food and grocery workers, the pharmacists, the firefighters, the first responders, the EMTs, and also the construction workers that are so important, and the building tradesmen and women that are so important here in Columbus and Central Ohio, you know, to not only keep the economy going, but also to keep the infrastructure and the safety and well-being of our people going. And, you know, I have no greater friend here in Central Ohio than John O'Grady. He's been incredibly helpful to myself, my members, the building trades, and all of organized labor. And for him to give us the opportunity to discuss what some of our members and stuff are doing was extremely welcome. And, you know, one of the things that the county commissioners have done a long time ago was they adopted a fair contracting policy with a strong emphasis on health and welfare, retirement, but also workforce development training. And that's one of the things that we talked about last night that I'm going to continue to push on as we come out of this pandemic and as we look back. You know, I think it's very important for not only local government entities, but also customers and end users to really make sure that they go out of their way to use companies and contractors that provide the basic human dignity of health insurance for their members and their families. I mean, you know, construction as it is somewhat dangerous. You know, we do a lot of things through workforce development and OSHA training to make sure that we remove as many hazards or learn to deal with hazards as we can. But to think of construction workers coming onto a job site that don't have health insurance is just absolutely horrible. So we're going to continue those conversations. I'm truly appreciative of John for giving us that opportunity last evening, but I'm also appreciative of the Kristen Boggses and the Erica Crowley, some of our state reps that have been doing outreach to check on us and our members to make sure that, you know, everything's going smoothly. You know, City Attorney Zach Klein, who's a close personal friend of mine, you know, video conferencing with him and some of the things that he's dealing with in local government. You know, Mayor Andy Ginther's, I think, doing a great job here in Columbus. And, you know, he said it perfectly on an interview he did at the Metropolitan Club a couple weeks ago. You know, the relationship that these big city mayors has with our governor has really helped steer the ship and try to make sure that our communities are staying safe and coming out of this pandemic as unscathed as possible. And I just want to appreciate all the hard work that they're doing. I can imagine, you know, seeing what our reps and our managers and agents are dealing with their members and their retirees and stuff. I can only imagine what some of these local electeds are doing. You know, Shannon Hardman, Rob Dorns on city council, and Liz Brown and Mike Brown, the chief of staff. Shannon Hardman passed a resolution city council, you know, honoring the essential workers last week at their council meeting. I was very appreciative of that. So I think a lot of the relationship building is doing well, is paid off, and I think it's going to really help in the future. And I just am very appreciative of a lot of our electeds here and what they're doing for their constituents.
You mentioned Governor DeWine. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I mean, I think personally he's doing a great job. The favorability rating, they did some polling earlier this week. He had an 85% favorability rating. But I'm hearing the other side, too, saying, oh, man, he's going too far. We want to get back to work. And I know you got to balance all of this. I know that. But he is exercising on the side of caution on this. What's your point of view here? Because I'm sure you're hearing both sides as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, he's in a very tough spot. You're absolutely right. And I think that what you just said, it shows of what a great job that he's doing, because he's making a lot of people unhappy. And usually decisions that you make that make people unhappy are usually the best decisions, you know what I mean? And he's listening to science. He's listening to Dr. Acton. I've been watching the press conferences pretty religiously, you know, the daily press conferences and updates.
Sure.
And he's trying to stay upbeat, and he's trying to stay positive. I mean, he gets it. He said it yesterday. He has 8 kids and 24 grandkids. You know, do you think that he wanted to do this to the Ohio's economy? Do you think he wanted his grandkids not to be able to go to their graduations and graduation parties and hang out with their friends and complete their spring sports seasons? Absolutely not. But I think he's doing what he thinks is best for the state to keep everybody safe. So, you know, it's a numbers thing, and we talked about it off air a little bit, numbers and polling. I mean, you know, if he would have done nothing and there would have been a lot of deaths, you know, I think he would have been criticized for doing nothing. If he would have done what he's doing now, which some people are thinking is extreme, and they're looking at the numbers and saying, see, he didn't have to do all this. Look at this. I mean, you know, I think the numbers are lower because of a lot of things of what he's done. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, you and I have talked about it. Nobody misses sports, restaurants, bars, the functions, going out with local electeds and my friends and fellow reps and community leaders here than me. But, you know, it's just something that I think that we have to do right now to keep our friends and family safe, especially people, you know, that this virus is really affecting, which is, you know, some of the people with immune systems that are not good, and also some of the elderly, you know. And I think that we're all doing what we have to do.
Exactly. All right, Dorsey, hold that thought. I'm going to take a quick break here. We'll talk about the primary election here, which was kind of like, was there an election this week? We'll talk about that. Dorsey Hager on our live line, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Also, later in the broadcast, Len DeCosimo, president of Local 4, of the Cleveland Federation of Musicians. He's going to talk about the Cleveland Orchestra. Also, some organizing going on. That's good news. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived and podcast on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, one of our regulars here. Hard to believe it's the first Friday in May, May 1st. Dorsey, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, got to mention their website, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. Dorsey, we were talking in the first segment about the lack of guidance and leadership on the federal level with regard to COVID-19. It was like kind of, yeah, this is going to fix itself attitude. You know the stories and all that. I'm not going to get into the weeds on that. But I kind of make this in relation to the situation with our infrastructure. You and I have had many conversations about the need to improve our infrastructure. Labor's International, Terry O'Sullivan, you know Terry, he's been for years talking about the fact that bridges, 25% of the bridges in this country are structurally deficient. I mean, you don't want to be on one of those bridges when it falls down. And it's happened. You've seen it up in Minnesota. They were warned about that bridge, and finally it fell down. People died, and then they fixed it. It seems like, and going forward here, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. It seems like that is the MO in America today. You're on your own. The states, you get your own testing, protect your own workers. Do you have the same feeling as I do on this? Because this has been going on for years. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
It's just unfortunate that we've became a reactive society and not a proactive. I mean, you know, we talked about it in the first segment. You know, President Obama and his task force had the playbook in 2017. It was right there. They, you know, and he even said it in his exit conversations with President Trump on his way out. You know, we're not talking about if a pandemic hits, it's when it hits, because one is going to hit, and this is what needs to be done. In the infrastructure part, you're absolutely right. I saw an interview the other day. You know, I flip through all of them. I don't just watch CNN. I watch MSNBC. I watch Fox. I try to mix it up, especially, right, you know, to catch different. And I saw an interview the other night on Laura Ingraham, and Mark Cuban was on there, and Mark was talking about the infrastructure and how Trump promised an infrastructure bill in his first 100 days in office, which there has been no even discussion of infrastructure. And Mark Cuban put it perfectly. He said, you know, it's not just roads and bridges and hospitals and buildings. He's like, it's also, you know, reinvesting in our manufacturing, you know, especially when it comes to pharmaceuticals and drug companies and research and equipment and stuff. He's like, this is criminal that we're having to go out of country for 90% of our medicines and 90% of our personal protective equipment. He goes, that stuff should be built here. He goes, right, the research for this stuff should be done here. He goes, we should be investing in that. And that's what a, you know, a huge comprehensive infrastructure bill is. And I think that that's unfortunate. And you said it perfectly. People think of infrastructure, they think of roads and bridges. It's not just that. It's pharmaceuticals. It's research labs. It's data centers. It's data storage. It's all that stuff. And that's a lot of what's happening here in Columbus and is spurring our growth, not only the medical research at Ohio State, but also the data storage, the data centers and the stuff that all these big IT companies and all these big internet companies are doing here too. And you can see the effects from that here in Central Ohio with the employment opportunities that are here, not just for people in the building trades, but people throughout all those industries.
Yeah, yeah. And you go back into history, take a look at FDR, what he did with the Works Progress Administration, getting America going during the Great Depression. It took a leadership by the federal level. And then switch, let's go to the Republican side, Eisenhower. Because of Eisenhower, we have the interstate highway system today, which he pretty much copied off of Germany when he was over there during World War II. But these are the things, these are the big projects that leaders have to take a look at to move America forward. It's unfortunate. And the states just can't do that kind of thing. The states have to balance their budgets, and they got to keep the day-to-day operations going on. But anyway, I'm glad you chimed in on that, because I think our politicians need to take a look at that and work in that direction, especially now. The election. Speaking of elections here, we had an election here in Ohio, which was delayed by about 6 weeks. Any recap here? What's your point of view as far as who got elected in the primary here? Good stuff? Bad stuff? What's the story?
No, I think a lot of the news here in Columbus and Central Ohio was very good. You know, a lot of people don't understand Central Committee races and how important they are. Here in Franklin County, the chairman of the Franklin County Democratic Party, a close personal friend of mine, Mike Sexton, we have conversations almost weekly about candidates and electeds and labor issues. And, you know, not only has he went as far as appointing labor leaders to the executive committee of the local Democratic Party, but he's also helped us recruit some of our members to run for these candidates of Central Committee. Rodney French is one of them. He's on my executive board. He's the business manager for the sheet metal workers. It seems like that he's going to be victorious in his election. There's going to be a recount. It's not going to be finalized till May 8th because there's still provisional ballots coming in, but it looks like he'll be okay. Barry Pickett, who's the mayor's labor liaison, he's a former business manager. He won his Central Committee race. Rick Neal, who's a close personal friend of mine, you know, have great conversations with him, not only about health care, but also about labor and labor's role in the community. He was victorious. Aaron Beck, Aaron Gibbons, a couple other friends. Gretchen James, who works in city attorney Zach Klein's office, and his girlfriend to Michael Brown, the chief of staff, Shannon Harden, who's always doing great outreach to the building trade. She was victorious. So a lot of those races were extremely important. On the statewide level, the speaker, who was supported and is still supported by organized labor and the building trades, and has done an incredible job as a speaker of the House. You know, he had some people challenging, you know, his people in his caucus, and he had a good primary day as well. So, and also Dontavious Gerald here in the Ohio House 25th District was in a very, very crowded primary to replace Bernadine Kennedy Kent. And Dontavious won that primary, and that's a blue area, so he'll certainly be victorious in the fall, and he'll be elected to the State House. Somebody I've known for 5 or 6 years, we're constantly talking about community engagement and labor and diversification of the building trades workforce and helping give people from the underserved community opportunities in the building trades to get on that path to the middle class. So really proud of Dontavious. He worked his butt off. And all these people that got elected and were on the ballot, I mean, it was very difficult. I mean, thinking about how you're budgeting your money and you're looking towards a March 17th primary, and then hours before the primary starts, the rug gets pulled out from under you, and the election is extended till April 28th, and then is mail only. So, you know, I can only imagine what a lot of them and their staffs and their campaign managers went through. What must have been very difficult. So very interesting. Now we're looking forward to the fall. You know, we're getting ready to do our screenings. You know, we have a great friend of the building trades here in the state Senate, Stephanie Kunze. We're interested to talk to her and see what we can do to help her retain her Senate seat. We've also got Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien. He's a great friend of the building trades, been the county prosecutor here for a long time. We've got a heavy contingent of Democratic State House members here in Central Ohio that we need to also reach out and help, you know, Erica Crowley, Kristen Boggs, several like that. So, you know, even though we're in the midst of this pandemic, you know, the work continues on and we still roll on. So,
yeah, we just do it a different way, no doubt. All right, buddy, we're going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, you stay safe and hopefully better times ahead when we talk at the beginning of June. I can't even believe I'm saying June, but nonetheless, let's get out of this thing. Be safe. You take care, my friend, okay?
You stay safe. Take care as well. Hopefully the weather cooperates the first weekend of May and you can get out of the den and take a walk or get out and hike or do something. That's what I'm looking forward to this weekend. So,
amen, brother. Okay, take care, Dorsey.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks. You too.